A market that's looking not only at the trade and the lack of any trade deals, they're also looking at what's going on in the weather, what's taking place with South Korea. So a lot of factors that have been weighing in on a Tuesday market. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. And joining me today to break down everything in this market wrap-up is Mike Zuzulo. Mike is with Global Commodity Analytics. And let's start out talking about trade. I mean, worried about lack of trade deals. And Mike, what we learned here in D.C. today is be patient. There's some information coming very soon. Now, not saying what very soon is, but they seem optimistic at the USDA. We might hear something. But is it too late as we wait on this market trade?
No, I don't think it's too late at all, Susan. But I do think that the clock is ticking because we're now less than 7 days away from that WASD report where we're going to get the new 25-26 supply-demand fundamentals. And if you look at the price of soybeans from the United States Gulf of Mexico or the Pacific Northwest heading to China in Chinese currency, it's about double right now than what it is coming out of South America origin. And that goes right back to the situation with the 145% tariffs we have on most Chinese goods. They have 125% reciprocal tariffs on us for most goods, including a lot of the agriculture. So the soybeans in particular and the pork, the cotton, the sorghum, these are all commodities that are heavily influenced by China trade. And I think the way I would put it right now is the clock's ticking. The indicators that I look at, the gold making a new monthly high today, the dollar making a new monthly low, the Wall Street being down about 1% here at mid-session, and then the pork and bean trade, the soybeans and the hogs, both lower, trying to come back a little bit, but that's a good indicator, I think, too, of China and the trade overall, those four indicators. And so my mindset is if we would get something from India in terms of a trade deal, that'd be really good because I think the trade sees, rightfully so, India being able to more than replace any lost business from China, and it'd be a big feather in the U.S.'s cap, probably put the Chinese more on the defensive in our negotiations with them.
What about with South Korea?
Yeah, South Korea is important because of the meat trade and the corn trade. It's interesting, though, Susan, we were able to see a large purchase, too, in fact, this morning in MFG purchasing about 267,000 tons of feed corn. The trade people that I've talked to suggest it's probably going to be out of the Pacific Northwest from the United States. But the consignments can be sourced from the U.S., South America, or South Africa. But the mindset right now is that South Korea is buying again. They need the corn. We're hoping it's going to be U.S. corn. And that helps replace or substitute for a while a lack of trade deal formally with South Korea. But I would say South Korea, Japan are right there below India. And then after India would be, or after South Korea, Japan, I'd say the European Union is a fourth. And obviously with the United States and Canada talking today in Washington, the Chicago trade and the LaSalle Street mindset, I think, has kind of baked in the cake. We're going to secure North American trade with Canada and Mexico. It's not going to be disrupted. And so that's an important something to keep in mind, too.
We saw some decent showers here in Washington, D.C. Over the last day or so, and that brought up the discussion about what was happening in the rest of the United States, especially when you look at the Western Corn Belt, and drought is just going to be continued persistent factor, and the markets are taking hold of that as they kind of put trade a little bit smidge on the back burner.
Yeah, I think they are. As we get into the close today, we haven't healed from what we have done so far this week, and one of the things that has surprised me, Susan, with the strong export inspections of 1.6 million tons on Monday morning for corn, these new South Korean purchases, and then this Western Corn Belt drought that is suggestive in the weather models that it's going to continue into mid-May, I think the bull spread in the corn, the July D's corn spread, should not be giving way, should not be compressed where the July is losing premium to the December. But both flat-price July corn and the July D's corn spread on Monday's trade went down to its 2025 lows, essentially. And I think this is really important to be watching, especially as we get ready for the next WASDE report. I would think the July would keep gaining on the December, both because of the demand side of the equation and also this Western Corn Belt weather, Northern Plains weather getting very serious at this point as we get into mid-May.
How crazy high is this cattle market going to continue to go? And I mean, even seeing some offers coming out are above what we saw last week.
I would say the feeder cattle I would classify as crazy high. When you look at five-weight feeders in South Dakota going for $440 last week, that puts you at a price level that you're going to need about $230, $235 fat cattle price to be able to break even. That's where I see the craziness in this market right now, Susan. Fat cattle, however, because of the boxed beef trade, because of the weakened dollar, because of the Wall Street market being able to find some support and retrace from the early April time period all the way back up to the February tariff news, these things have supported the fat cattle market. Can we go above 220 is the question I would have at this stage of the game in terms of the cash market and also the June futures.
And that is Mike Zuzula with Global Commodity Analytics joining us this afternoon. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. I'm Susan Littlefield. This is the American Ag Network.